Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your hostess, Emerald Greenforest, and I am here today with Harry Sherwood. Harry's dedication to transformation led him to travel the world. Over the last decade, he lived with and learned from monks, yogis, martial arts masters, professors, and psychologists. Harry practiced thousands of hours of meditation and received a religious studies degree from the University of Michigan. He studied Tai Chi, Qigong, Kriya Yoga, meditation, mindfulness, and psychology. He has also taken part in shamanic ceremonies, plant medicine ceremonies, and funeral ceremonies, ranging from China to Ghana to Indonesia to California. The culmination of these experiences led Harry to found consciously.org, where he guides people to transformation in mind, body, and spirit. So welcome to the show, Harry. So glad to have you here.
So glad to be on the show. I'm honored to be here and I'm excited for a great conversation.
Yeah. Well, you are a really interesting dude. And I actually had the opportunity to meet you in person at Soccer X, where you had a booth in the health and wellness section of that gigantic expo. And so it's clear to me that you have a significant calling on your life, based on, you know, both your biography as well as the body of work that you are engaged in delivering out into the world right now yourself. So can you tell us a little bit, Harry, about the backstory? Like, what happened? Did you, you know, were you born with this kind of desire to discover all of this? Or did you have a life-changing experience? Did you have some kind of spiritual awakening? Can you tell us where the calling came from and give us a little bit of a backstory on that?
Sure. I really had two things going on throughout my childhood. Number one was what most of us experience, which is being kids, we're programmed a certain way to be, you know, a good person, a bad person, certain beliefs, certain thought processes based on our surroundings and our culture. And I just, there was a part of it that always made me feel suffocated, that always made me feel like something was missing in life. And I, even though I couldn't put my finger on that until even up until I was 19 and when I left for my entire journey, I just felt like something was missing. So I had that going on. But at the same time, I had always been called to magical, mystical, just anything that was outside of the current paradigm of science. And I had several spiritual experiences throughout my youth, but I never would have labeled them that. And it was just kind of like, oh, that was weird. And I just kept moving on with life. I was a young kid. It was just something that happened. And so the mixture of those two things, me feeling more and more trapped with this kind of draw to the mystical, led me on the spiritual quest. So it was kind of, it was a yin yang there. There was two things pulling me towards that direction.
Beautiful. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what made you decide, maybe what your choice-making process is? Like, what made you decide to go seek where you went? Like, did you have a family culture that was immersed in kind of a higher consciousness framework? Or did you, you know, find out about things through your own means somehow? Like, you know, did you discover a yoga class somehow and then all of a sudden decided to go down that path? Like, where was the choice moment for you that put you on that path?
Well, my mom, I always called her woo-woo growing up. She, like, we always just used to say that she believed in fairies, and she would take us to a chiropractor who did neuro-emotional technique, cranial sacral, past live stuff. So I was introduced to it at a young age. And I didn't really believe it or not believe it. It just felt natural to me. So I loved going to this chiropractor. And then as time went on and I felt more and more suffocated, my brother, through Alcoholics Anonymous, found Self-Realization Fellowship. And this was Paramahansa Yogananda, a yogi from India, came to the States in 1920, founded this spiritual organization. And him and my dad said, hey, you got to come. This sounds like something you'd be interested in. From the second I got there, I just felt this immense, just magnetic draw. I love the sermon. I love everything said. I grabbed one of the packets and I started immediately learning their meditation techniques. But about 6 months in, it just, the rubber wasn't hitting, meeting the road. I just wasn't gaining a lot of traction. And I have an extremist nature. So I said, you know, I have to go after this. I was just, there's too much of a calling to go on a spiritual quest. And so I didn't really know what it was going to look like. I just knew I had to go. So that's when I started seeking and searching, which led me to China to study Tai Chi and Qigong with the Shaolin monks, which led me to the ashram to live with monks for 6 months. The first time I went back a second time. And after that year off, I wound up changing my major, going, getting a religious studies degree, because I started to learn about self-realization, essentially enlightenment. And it really, the second I had a label for it and I had this thing I could go and search for, so many of my childhood dreams, longings, everything just came into that's what it is. That's what I'm called towards. And so I went after it like a drowning man going after air. It was, I really, for the past decade, I've really spent my entire life or that entire decade seeking and finding and experiencing profound things.
Beautiful. I was just going to ask you what the calling feels like. And I don't have to do that because you absolutely described it very well, like a drowning man going for air. When you have a calling that's that big on your life, you, that's how it feels. At least that's how you're describing how it felt. So awesome. You know, I think it also takes a lot of courage to just walk away from cultural conditioning, societal conditioning, family conditioning. It sounds like you had, you know, you had an environment that was already putting some of those seeds into you as a result of the mom that you had. But it sounds like even though you had that kind of fertile soil, that you still felt like that was not enough for you. So can you talk about the courage to make these choices and like, where does that come from within you and how do you cultivate more of that so that our listeners can maybe tune into that for themselves?
Sure. To paint a quick snapshot. So like I said, my brother was in AA. My other brother at the time was kind of headed down a similar route. And this is when I was about 11. And then my dad was just a workaholic. So all the men in my life were either examples of what not to do or not there. And so I latched onto a friend group. And that friend group and I pretty much started partying pretty intensely for the next 6 or 7 years straight. And this was like middle school all the way through the end of high school. And so they became an extended family. And so when I started to make these shifts, started to yearn to, you know, go and live with monks and started quoting like Gandhi and stuff, they all looked at me like I was crazy. And so it absolutely took a high level of courage to, I'd spent the last decade trying to fit in and I wasn't fitting in anymore. And it was now a choice that I needed to make. And that suffocation just got too intense. So it was, I had to do it. You know, I think that if I were to go back now and look at that, was there a choice? Absolutely. But it almost felt like there wasn't a choice. It was, I have to do this or else I'm not honoring this voice inside that's screaming at me, that's yearning, that just everything I've ever wanted just in the middle of my chest. And so I had to do it. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't know what it was going to look like or exactly what the do it was. It was just, I had to take a leap wherever, went in whatever direction I felt called. And I did that. And, over the years after doing that, there was still a lot of courage involved of maintaining course, of the dry seasons, of the times where it got very challenging. And so it's been a consistent state of being in courage, especially anyone who is very sincere about their own spiritual development. It's a continuously stripping down and letting go of false self. And so it's stepping into, am I willing to let this part of me go? And it takes a lot of courage to do that along the way.
You know what I really love best about what you just said? You know, I ask this question a lot, and you're the first guest who has said that it takes courage to course correct along the way as well, right? It's not just the making the decision and the moving towards and the saying yes to the calling. It's really also that just saying yes to the calling doesn't mean your whole life is going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy from there on out, right?
Right.
So can you talk a little bit about how you continue to cultivate and exercise and strengthen your courage muscle? Like, are there some immediately actionable steps that our guys who are listening around the world can implement in their own life to maybe first find the courage muscle and then to exercise it so that it is available and strong and present when it's time for a course correction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if you've defined courage on this show before or not, but the way I define it is it's not the absence of fear, it's overcoming fear. So it doesn't mean fear is not going to be there. And so the number one thing I do is get immense clarity. I did along the way and what I have my clients do, get immense clarity on what it is you want. Even if in the end, your clarity is that it's unclear, still spend the time to get that clarity. So we have all of our clients go through like 80 different questions of finding out, hey, who were you in your past? What is your present? And what do you want in your future? So I would just say, sit down with yourself and get it, write out as many questions as you can and do as much as you can to get clarity on your, what we call, once you've found all that and you bring it down to one sentence, we call it your true north in life. Where is your compass headed? Because mine might be different than yours and that's okay, but find your true north in life. And then secondly, what are habits and modalities like meditation that can help you in the struggling times when life's hitting the fan? Do you know a couple breathing techniques to immediately calm back down, let go of resistance that starts coming up and start working towards that? And then to get a little bit deeper, and this is what I teach in my workshops, which is it's really a lie that we need anything outside of ourselves to be fulfilled, to be enough, to be whole. And the depth of the spiritual path is coming back to ourself, coming back to thinking that fulfillment lies somewhere out there. I call it your when. Oh, I will be enough when I will be whole, when I'll be fulfilled, when I have, you know, been received recognition from outside of myself, made $10+ million, done, you know, we all have our whens in different areas of life. We created those. Even if they're subconscious beliefs programmed into us, they're beliefs. That's all they are. They're modes of operation. And so if we can really come down to and truly step into believing I am enough and whole now, That's a huge, huge step in the spiritual path. And once we start doing that, we realize how often we live in resistance to this present moment. Most of us are in constant resistance to what is, either trying to change what is or running from something or trying to grasp on to what is and I don't want it to change. So it's just resistance either way. And what the great spiritual teachers have shown us is once we start to release and let go, then we start to let in these subtler vibrations and we start to recognize this thing that's been labeled as divine or sacred or just this beautiful flow of life, the great perfection, the Tao, the Zen. And it's not just this concept. We start to experience this unified connector that through all things. And it's beyond the mind's ability to comprehend it. It's truly the most awe-inspiring feeling and connection that any human can ever have. But it's also, it's us. It's our true nature. We're letting ourselves back in. We've closed ourselves off to our deeper self for so long. And a lot of that comes down to first accepting who you are right now. So you stop resisting yourself. So you start to experience yourself on a deeper level.
Beautiful. Well, Harry, we are going to have to take a short break right now. That was delicious. I want everyone to take a nice deep cleansing breath on that one. I'm going to do that myself. And I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I do want to shout out this week to our listeners in China. I'm feeling inspired to shout out to our listeners in China. And I also want to send a shout out to Matt Monfils, who let me know on LinkedIn. He's an Eagle Scout, a writer, a webmaster, and a data researcher. He let me know on LinkedIn that he really was enjoying the show. So thank you for being a listener, Matt. And, you know, definitely I want any listeners who are out there who have commentary to send us some ratings and reviews. We'd love to acknowledge you on the show as well. We will be right back with Harry Sherwood.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Harry Sherwood. He is the founder of consciously.org. So if you want to find out more about Harry and what he has to offer to his clients and in his workshops and perhaps even to book him as a speaker or bring him into your organization or your company, you can find out more about him at consciously.org. We will have that information in the show notes. So Harry, I think what I want to ask next is I want to ask about the creation process, because clearly one of the fruits of your quest was you came out of that quest, or at least that part of your quest of searching all over the world and being with all kinds of master teachers and going through all kinds of trainings to create something of your own. So can you talk a little bit about your own creative process and, you know, again, where you go to deepen your own connection to your source? Like, what is your go-to, you know, practice to reconnect again to your own source when it's time to create again?
The creation process, it was something that I always felt like I knew I was going to be speaking to people, and I knew that I wanted to do something in the health world. But there was also, like, post second time at the ashram and coming out, I got back into teaching meditation. I got into teaching meditation first time, got back into sports performance coaching like I had been doing before I left. So I got back into, you know, coaching in a couple gyms and things like that, but I really didn't know how it was going to look. I knew that I wanted to create some sort of holistic community. That's all I really knew. Then I met Melanie McDaniel, my partner, and she had a very similar vision, came to it a completely different way. She had a very traumatic past. And so we came to spiritual development and, I mean, completely opposite sides, but we came together. And since then, we've really been helping each other dive deeper, as well as working towards, hey, what does this look like? And as we were doing that and we were putting together, like, what do we want to do? We did some other things on the side, got in real estate for a little bit. We didn't know what we wanted it to look like. But as we started to step into it, we got lost in other people's shoulds. We got lost in, all right, well, if you're going to be an entrepreneur and you're going to start your business, you have to, you know, fill in the blank with beautiful website, speaking a lot, writing a book, you know, the 25 things people tell you to do because it's worked for them. And we, over a year, 2 years of implementing those things and starting to build our website and doing these things, did it help? Absolutely. But what we recognized that helped us stay truest to ourselves was, amongst that list of 25 things, what calls to us? What do we actually like doing? And we found that we like marketing in person. I love speaking, so I do workshops and I do speeches. And we do a lot of one-on-one coaching to really dive into someone's life for 6 months to a year. So we learned our style, and we also learned that, hey, different things work for different people, and that's okay, which is what we teach in every other area of life. So it only made sense that it came into the business aspect as well. So that, you know, and that's continuously evolving. We're still learning. We're finding new communities that we really vibe with. Obviously, new clients are coming in from left and right, and it's just kind of this dance. It's this flow. And as we are in the creation process, you know, sometimes Mel and I, earlier on this year, we just did our own retreat within our place, and we took 10 days off. We blocked off our calendar. No one could book us. We weren't going to do any of the regular things that we did. And we just had our own internal retreat. Now, that's a longer period of time. Not a lot of people can't do that. I go to meditation circles. I actually live only a few hours away from the ashram. So I go back to the ashram here or there. I stay, my circle, my inner circle, friend circle, peer group, is full of a lot of very uplifting souls. And so we have great conversations all the time, Melanie very much being one of them. So I make sure that when I am in need of recharging, I take the time to do that. And I take the time to let go. And I have my own meditative practice. And it ebbs and flows. It isn't a set time and schedule in the way it looks, but that absolutely is a huge part of my practice in my life as well.
Beautiful. Well, I love that you have the mindset of self-care, because as any entrepreneur learns, it can be immensely overwhelming to have all of those different choices in front of you of all the many, many, many ways that you can set your business up that can literally tear you apart if you try and put too much energy into all of those different directions and really burn you out. So glad that you got very clear very quickly. Clarity is definitely divinity. I found myself also, Harry, that, you know, speaking for me, virtual speaking in particular, I love virtual speaking, being at events. You know, I actually do the same thing with my own clients when I take them through one of my bodies of work. I lay out all the choices and say, okay, but you don't have to do all of these choices. You can choose the ones that feel most aligned and most resonant for you. And, you know, an exhausted entrepreneur is not somebody who is going to be highly attractive to, to the people who are really looking for some help. So good on you, good on you. And a really good on you too for creating the time and space in your own life and your own business to do a reset every now and then. I think that's really, really vitally important as well. So great, great suggestions. I have two more questions for you before we close. The first is, I want to hear about how coaching has impacted you. I don't know whether you have a coach right now or if you, you know, ascribe to coaching. I know you are a coach. Generally speaking, most coaches aren't coaches if they haven't already got their own coach as well. So can you talk a little bit about the impact of coaching in your own life? And if you'd like, you can certainly share a success story from one of your own clients that you've coached.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So Mel and I talk about having your own Jedi Council, and really, as long as we are here, there's a quote, and this comes from the book Illusions by Richard Bach. Fantastic book. But on the back, it says, if you're still here, you're not done. And essentially that means, like, whatever your journey is, for whatever reason, you're still here. So keep going. And it's amazing. And a big part of that is continuously deepening the connection. Is as enlightened as someone is, it's an infinite pool. So we always go deeper. So my main counselor is the spiritual counselor at the ashram, and I still see him time to time. We'll email back and forth. But his wisdom, just in 40 plus years of the practice he's been doing, and it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So he's my main go-to, but like I said, some peer group that are also kind of coach types. I have a lot of friends who are coaches. So we kind of go back and forth with ideas and things that are, you know, working for us and clients, and things that we might need a little bit of, you know, support around, because we need that as well. So that's my main go-to. That he's my Yoda and my Jedi Council. And then just within my own coaching clients as well, you know, we have all different types, because we do holistic health. We have a nutrition program. We have a meditation program. We do emotional release. We do lifestyle coaching. And so like you were saying, it's a mix and match. Some people come to us and they want everything but nutrition. Some people come to us and they only want nutrition, which we've actually been getting away from a little bit more, because the nutrition conversation is really difficult to have if they're not also willing to have a mind and spirit conversation as well. But we do our best with what we can. And so, you know, various, I think just a really simple one, and this comes to mind because it happened only a couple of months ago, but someone, as we were doing the initial process of going through all of our questions, as we were going through them, I was describing to her, you know, what basically choosing goals from a place of fulfillment. Like, I'm not choosing this because it's going to bring fulfillment. I'm choosing this from a place that I'm already fulfilled and whole right now. And how would that change your goals? And how would that change what you do? And she said, honestly, Harry, that makes me nervous. I said, why is that? And she said, because I feel like some of my goals are going to fall away because I just won't have the motivation to do them anymore. And I said, what does that tell you about those goals? They were only there to bring a feeling to you. Mm-hmm. And once you let go of that and you bring that feeling now, yeah, some things will fall away. But the things that are left, the goals that are left over, are the ones that you're truly passionate about, are the ones that are going to, they pull you towards them. It's not a grind to get there. It's this dance of beauty to get to achieve and go and do things from a place of fulfillment. And that shifted. She started crying and it shifted. And it was this beautiful moment of getting it, of realizing, wow, how much of my life have I just been seeking some external permission to be and feel whole and complete and loved. And so many people operate from that place. And so that's just one quick one. There's several in so many different areas that I could bring up, but that one was really special in that moment because you could see that light bulb, that aha, that epiphany go off. And it was powerful. It was powerful.
Yeah. I really like that. In fact, what I'm hearing in that is that, you know, you actually gave her permission to dismantle a lot of old thought forms and beliefs and patterns of behavior and aspirations that were literally consuming her life, right? Mm-hmm. That may or may not be authentic to her, may or may not be in alignment with her highest expression of who she can be. So beautiful, beautiful work. Thank you, Harry, for working some serpent medicine on another soul.
Thank you.
That's what I call serpent medicine. I love serpent medicine. In fact, I was out walking the other day and the big, big, big black snake went right across my path. I was like, okay, we're on. I don't know what we got going on, but we're on. So I have one final question for you, and that is, how do you celebrate, Harry, when you have accomplished something really in alignment with your true self, not checking off the boxes or getting the notch in your belt just because somebody else expected it? When you have really fulfilled your own deepest desire in alignment with your truest self, how do you celebrate?
I don't know if I have a specific ritual, but two things that immediately came up for me is sharing it with loved ones. Mm-hmm. Belle and I very much help. We like to support each other in our wins and not, you know, try to, a lot of people either get that little jealousy or whatever. Maybe we just fully support each other in whatever it is that we have accomplished. And that's always fantastic. And the other thing is to just sit with it, to just sit in a place of acceptance and really feel it and let tears flow. If tears flow, let joy spring forth and whatever comes and just, I mean, what an honor and what a beautiful moment in life. And I want to be fully present in that. So that's a big practice of mine. And anytime I feel the heart opening up more and more, I just experience such a profound happening in that moment.
Yeah. Beautiful. Letting it in. That's such a good idea to let it in when you win, right? All right, beautiful man, we are going to have to close our show, but we want to say thank you to you and remind everyone that they can find out more about you at consciously.org. And again, listeners, I want to remind you that we do love feedback. Please do let us know what you thought of today's show or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show like we did for Matt Monfils today. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.